Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that never mixes pastels with browns. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Paul Magoo Matwichuk.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again. Crushed your opponents into dust.
Jack Lizard Queen Hope.
That's not a knife, that's a spoon.
And David Gridiron Weeb.
On any given Sunday, I won't need a Hail Mary to move these chains.
Hello to everybody, and thank you for joining us here today for the second elimination match in our Season 6 Ubu Division. Joining us again is our special guest scoremaster and former champion on this show, Monty Ashley. Hi, Monty.
Hi, Taylor. What was that about pastels and browns again?
That's the first time I've ever got a reference that Taylor has put down. That is from the Gucci movie, The House of Gucci.
Oh, okay.
It's Paolo Gucci. You mix the pastels and the browns, and then you make the pizza.
I don't know. Also joining us, you just heard his voice, working the boards, it's production master Dave.
I have got an idea. Let's blow off 7th and 8th, go to the mall, have a calorie fest, and see the new Christian Slater.
Yes!
Well, that sounds like it's my cue to throw it to our very first game of today, a round of My Champion. In this game, each one of our contestants has chosen a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. The catch? We pick the battle that they're fighting. Podcaster and crossword snob Paul Matwichuk, who is your champion today?
My champion is Dot from the musical Sunday in the Park with George.
Elder Millennial Jack Hope, who have you got?
Special Agent Dana Scully of the X-Files.
And rapidly becoming his father, David Weeb, who is your champion today?
My champion is Green Lantern, as played by Ryan Reynolds in the Green Lantern movie.
All right, three champions are locked in. Our special guest scoremaster, Monty, is going to serve as the judge today. So that means it's time to spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, who would write the best cookbook? Paul, why is Dot from Sunday in the Park with George going to write the best cookbook?
Well, Dot, over the course of the musical, she develops extraordinary concentration, and she is absorbing the influences of all the people around her. So from her eventual husband, Louis, who is such a good baker that he is hired by a pair of visiting American tourists to come all the way across the ocean with him. She is also, of course, Georges Seurat's lover, and listens to him as he expounds on the virtues of design, tension, balance, harmony. So combine the familiarity with baked goods and the artistic out-of-the-box thinking of Georges, her ability to concentrate and synthesize all of those influences, the result would be a French cookbook that would be superior to all others.
An argument delivered nearly as eloquently as Sondheim lyrics themselves. Thank you, Paul.
No internal rhymes.
Exactly. Now, Jack, why is Dana Scully from The X-Files going to write the best cookbook?
Well, the original answer was, I have no idea, but she is somebody who has always been able to do whatever the plot needs her to do in any specific moment.
Fair enough. Thank you, Jack. And David, why is the Ryan Reynolds version of the Green Lantern going to write the best cookbook?
I at first thought Hal Jordan, an ordinary fighter pilot, may not have a distinguished palate. But as a member of the Green Lantern Corps, he has probably tons of friends and fellow Green Lanterns who can bring in alien recipes, ingredients to the mix. I would also add, as Ryan Reynolds is one of our more successful modern day celebrity entrepreneurs, he's going to have that ability to market it, to get it out there and make it a success.
Thank you, David. All right, Monty, it is on you to determine today's My Champion winner. Who is it going to be?
Well, Jack proposed that Dana Scully could do whatever the plot required, but she didn't go that extra step and explain why investigating aliens would require making a cookbook. So I'm going to have to cross her off. Paul made a good argument for Dot. Unfortunately, I picture a cookbook that looks good on the shelf, but once you get up close to read the recipes, it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. So I'm going to say the winner is David with his Woo! Alien recipe cookbook.
Yay!
By sheer force of will, David has won My Champion. That means you get a crack at the half point. Answer this question correctly and you will get half a point to your name before the game even really starts. Here is your half point question. Maybe the most famous cookbook in pop culture is To Serve Man from the original Twilight Zone. 7'2" actor Richard Kiel, who played the alien Condiment in that episode, is best remembered for what villainous role?
I believe he's remembered as Jaws in the James Bond franchise.
Yes, that's a half a point to David, and it also means you'll get to go first in round one, One Better Off, Action Edition. After your last cardiac arrest, the doc said no more intense movies. So here we are at the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, commissioning 15 heart-friendly movies by changing just one letter of the original title. We'll give you the synopsis of the commissioned movie. You give us the new title. So, if I told you that a 2021 movie had a radioactive lizard facing his greatest challenge, old-school video game table tennis, you'd know that we were talking about
Godzilla vs. Kong.
Godzilla vs. Kong, one letter off from Godzilla vs. Kong. Now, that would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, I can give you the name of one of the starring actors, after which point the answer is worth just 5. Note that some of these movies have been remade, so the year and the clue will always refer to the most recent version. David, our My Champion and half-point victor, you get to go first. This is from 2018. A British archaeologist sneaks into ancient temples in order to get implements to brush her impractically long hair.
Lara Croft, Comb Raider?
Yes, with just Tomb Raider being that 2018 version, but we will take it. Next up to Paul. This is from 2008. An aging operative has a particular set of skills, but they really brought him on to fill a specific quota.
That's Token?
Yes, with Liam Neeson in Token. Next up for Jack, this is from 1995. Two foul-mouthed buddy cops get kicked off the force for excessive violence and wind up helping out in the dugout for the Marlins.
Can I have the clue, please?
Starring Marvin Lawrence.
Okay, I know this, but I've never seen it, and it's just not there.
That's going to be Bat Boys, helping out for the Florida Marlins baseball team in Miami. That is based off Bad Boys. We're at Bat Boys. Back to David. From the year 2019. Summoned from the underworld in the waning days of World War II, a half-demon avoids his destiny with a day job moving bags at a hotel.
I am going to need a hint.
Starring David Barber.
I do not know who David Barber is.
Well, it's one letter off from somebody.
Oh, sorry. Oh my gosh. Is it Bellboy?
Yes, the 2019 version of Hellboy, this time Bellboy. Next up to Paul. From the year 1994. A secret agent's wife thinks he's dull, perhaps because he's always spending evenings matching Tupperware to the proper tops.
That would be True Lids.
Absolutely, with Jamie Lee Curtis and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Next up to Jack. We're also in the year 1994. Scientists and the military open an interdimensional portal to an Egyptian-themed world and just kind of look at the sky there with their telescopes.
Hint, please.
Starring Hurt Russell.
Wow, I'm getting off to a bad start because I don't know.
Paul knows this one.
I think that's Stargaze.
Yes, based on Stargate, that's Stargaze. Back over to David. From the year 1989. A philosophizing bouncer takes a job at an enclosure for warty amphibians.
Oh my gosh. I know this movie. I watch it all the time. Warty amphibians. Frog toad. Oh my gosh. He's a bouncer. My gosh. I just watched it. I'm going to have to pass and I'm going to kill myself.
That is Toad House. Toad with Patrick
House.
Skazy.
Toad House.
Toad House.
Would he be more of a hopper than a bouncer?
Oh. A plus, Paul. Thank you. Paul, this next one is for you. We're in the year 2008. Batman couldn't be out saving the city from the Joker, but he's just going to chill in his parents' musty basement slash cave.
Oh, okay. At first, I thought this was going to be the Dork Knight, but I think if it's like a musty basement, it's probably the Dank Knight.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it. <Dan. laughs>
Absolutely, Paul, starring Christian Fale. And kicking it back to Jack. This is from the year 2017. In the future, this secret Western sees an aging mutant go to great lengths to protect his usernames and passwords and deliver them safely to Canada.
I'll take the hint straight away.
Starring Hugh Jackman.
Okay. Can't believe how badly I'm doing. No.
Are there any thoughts, things you're getting close to on this?
No, not at all.
In the X-Men realm, that's going to be based on Logan, but this version is Login. And that's going to take us into our first score update from Scoremaster Monty.
Jack has yet to get on the board. David has 15 and the half point. And Paul has gotten everything correct so far. He's on top of the board with 30 points.
Nice job, Paul.
Let's get back into it with the next one for David. We're in the year 2012. In the movies, he's played by a smaller actor, but in the books, he's a bruiser big enough to scratch between his own shoulder blades.
I would like the hint.
Starring Tom Bruise.
As soon as you said small actor, I did go to Tom Cruise. Mission Impossible isn't really the, is it? Oh, I'm thinking something to do with Jack Reacher, but that 2012 seems too early for that. Other than Jack Scratcher.
So close, but if he can reach between his own shoulder blades, he's Back Reacher.
Back Reacher.
so close on that one, David. Next up, back to Paul. See if you can keep that streak up. We're in the year 2013. A policeman is caught up in a terrorist attack on the U.S. Capitol and has to protect the Smithsonian exhibit of First Lady's evening wear.
Oh, okay. I was like off on a national treasure tangent, but now I realize, is this actually, it's going to be, okay, White House down becomes White House gown. Hey.
He got there. Well done, Paul. Next up, back to Jack. We're in the year 1995. A man who drinks his own urine faces a post-apocalyptic world filled with people who have nothing but mean things to say to him.
Can I have the hint, please?
Starring Devin Costner.
So the movie, I'm fairly sure, is Waterworld.
Filled with people who have nothing but mean things to say to him.
Yeah, I can't get to the actual answer.
That new title, Hater World. All the haters of the world towards Kevin Costner. One more one-letter off action movie per player. This one is for David. We're in the year 1969. It's a Sam Peckinpah Western about a group of aging outlaws looking for one last afternoon meal before civilization crowds them out.
1969 was... I was not born yet. I'm going to take the hint, please.
Starring William Golden.
Yeah, that doesn't help at all. I'm going to pass.
That's going to be The Wild Lunch.
The Wild Lunch. I love lunch.
Over to Paul. We're in the year 1988. Motorcycle gangs in Neo Tokyo should probably deal with the looming psychic terror, but they're distracted by these adorable big fluffy dogs.
This is one of the few anime films I've actually seen. It's Akira, but it's going to be Akita.
Well done, Paul. And next up to Jack. The year 1998. A Chinese cop comes to Los Angeles for a lot of peace, quiet, and nap time.
Is this Hush Hour?
On the board, 10 points for Hush Hour. A great way to close out round one. Next up, the scores from Monty and on to round two. Hi there, listeners. Taylor here to tell you about what's going on in the empty studio this week over on our Patreon. This Friday morning, our listeners at the silver and gold levels will get a special bonus game in their feeds called Keep On Rockin' It. It's an audio quiz where you name the movie or TV show from the sound of a rock concert scene that takes place in the movie. So music lovers, it's all for you this week. Find that game and many, many others at usaquizshow.com/membership. Hope to see you there this Friday in our empty studio.
After one round of play, it's time for the Rodgers the Musical score break. Rodgers the Musical. We're just going to pretend that this is a sequel to Bombshell. You know, the musical from Smash? Paul is in first place with 50 points. He's perfect so far. Next is David with 15 points and the half point. And Jack is in the rear with 10 points. That means Jack gets to go first in round two.
Jack, that also means you get a crack at the Threequalizer. You have a chance to make up some ground with a question that has three possible answers. You have three guesses to match as many of those correct answers as you can. 10 points for each answer you match. Your Threequalizer question is: the most expensive movie prop ever auctioned was the original Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet, which sold for more than $5 million in 2017. But there are three other famous movie props that have sold for more than $4 million. They are a white dress that sold for $4.6 million, an Aston Martin from the third movie in a franchise that sold also for $4.6 million, and a statue from a John Huston movie that sold for $4.1 million. What movies are those three props from?
All right, so the white dress is from, is it? It's either Some Like It Hot or 70 Itch. I can't remember which one. I'm going to say it's Some Like It Hot. So if it wasn't Some Like It Hot, it is 70 Itch.
Correct. One more guess at either of the other two props.
The car is from a James Bond film.
We need the name of that third film in a franchise.
I think it's wrong, but Diamonds Are Forever.
That third James Bond movie with that Aston Martin is Goldfinger. And the statue from the John Huston movie is the titular Maltese Falcon. Still, 10 points for the 7-year itch. Well, staying in the realm of buying movie props, we're going to play round two entitled Shopping Spree. We can afford to give you props. We give you props for correct answers all the time. What we can't afford to give you are the kinds of props that people actually care about. Movie props. In this game, we'll describe actual props one could buy if their podcast was more popular, and you have to tell me which TV show or movie they are from. For example, if I told you that $50 could get you one of Celie Booth's FBI business cards from a 2005 TV show, you'd know that was a prop from
Bones.
Bones, yes, that answer would get you 30 points. If you need more help, I can tell you about more props from the show or movie in question, but the more hints you get, the fewer points you'll get for a correct answer. Going to start off round two with Jack. This is from a 2006 movie. You could pay $725 for a Persian coin.
Is this The Mummy?
Mummy's a little earlier than 06. That's going to be from 300, the Persian coin from 300. Next up to David. This is from the later revival of a 1993 TV show. You could pay $100 for a set of FBI patches used on the show.
The later revival. So I'm going to guess the X-Files.
For the full 30 for David. Next to Paul. This is from a 2012 TV show. You could pay $125 for Arrowheads.
In 2012, Arrowheads. Oh, I'm going to need a hint.
You could also pay $275 for a Star City police radio.
Star City, 2012. Is this, I'm going to have to guess for a show that I don't watch. Is this Arrow?
Yeah, no psyching you out there. On the CW, that is Arrow. Next up, back to Jack. This is from a 2011 TV show. You could pay $1,275 for a stunt version of Merida's sword.
This is Brave.
Merida is in the movie Brave, but this is from a 2011 TV show. She also shows up on ABC's Once Upon a Time.
Oh.
Back to David. Also a 2011 TV show. You could pay $25 for various kinds of legal paperwork, buyout agreements, funds transfers, certified letters, etc.
I'm going to need the first hint, please.
$25 for a photo of the partners from a fictional law firm.
I think I know what this is. 2011 But I'm going to get one more hint.
$95 for business cards that might have been handled by Meghan Markle.
Is this Suits?
10 points for Suits. Back over to Paul. These props are from a 2014 TV show. You could pay $475 for Ben Franklin's kite, key included.
A 2014 TV show with Ben Franklin in it.
And just to remind you, 300 and Once Upon a Time have already been answered, so it's not
Oh boy. I'm gonna need a hint.
You could pay $775 for a magnifying glass and letter opener used by a fictional version of a real president.
Oh, a 2014 TV show that's like in Independence Day times. I have a guess, but it's like such a marginal show that I'm afraid to guess it. I'm going to go for one more hint.
$495 for a set of signal flag printing blocks for old-timey spycraft.
Oh, I had it. The show is called Turn.
Turn or Turn Washington Spies. Absolutely.
Oh, I wasn't bold enough to guess right from the top. Oh.
Yes, it's a show that I'm told exists.
Those seem very high prices for props from Turn Washington Spies.
All right, let's kick it back to Jack. This prop comes from a 1980 movie. It's $3,750 for a fake issue of People magazine with our hero on the cover, back when he was playing football.
Okay, can I get the hint, please?
You could also pay $12,750 for a pistol used by the member of the alien Imperial Guard.
I'll get the final hint.
You could also pay $25,000 for the belt from Ming's costume.
I have a feeling this is wrong. I'm fairly sure it is, but Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom?
Not quite. David knows this one.
Is it Flash Gordon?
Yes, from the Flash Gordon movie. David, this next one's for you. It's from a 2015 TV show. You could pay $75 for an exit sign written in English and Japanese.
Japanese and English stop sign. I absolutely am going to need another hint.
You could also pay $150 for a set of mixed Japanese and German coins.
Hmm. 2015?
2015.
Did you just ask if it was from the year 2015?
Yeah, is it from the 2015? Is that correct? Is it Man in the High Castle?
For 20 points, correct. Back to Paul. This is from a 2001 TV show. You could pay $175 for a light-up crystal of knowledge.
Oh, I could use that right now. The crystal of knowledge from 2001. I need a hint.
You could also pay $475 for an alien gladiator helmet.
Oh, boy. A crystal of knowledge and an alien gladiator helmet. So, there's smarts, there's brains and brawn involved in this 2001 show, and I don't know what it is. I need the final hint.
You could also pay $1,250 for a Metropolis police badge.
Oh, so Metropolis. So that's super. Is that like, so is it Smallville?
It is indeed for 10 points. Well, that's going to take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Monty.
Jack has 20 points. David has 75 points and the half point. And Paul is in the lead with 90 points.
All right, Jack, this next one is for you. This prop comes from a 2002 installment of a movie series that started in 1994. You could pay $195 for some patterned wrapping paper.
Jingle All the Way 2.
Love that guess. This is going to be The Santa Claus 2. So in the Christmas realm, but with Tim Allen in The Santa Claus 2 from 2002. Next up to David. This is from a 2009 movie. You could pay $80 for a piece of mail sent to the New Frontiersman.
The New Frontiersman. I am going to need the next hint, please.
You could also pay $6,000 for a statue of Hollis Mason, or just $375 for the prototype.
Hollis Mason, 2009 movie. Oh, those are all scratching itches. I'm going to have to take the last hint.
$1,275 for a newspaper with a headline about the Silk Spectre.
Oh, this is Watchmen.
Yes, the Zack Snyder version of Watchmen. Over to Paul. This prop is from a 2017 movie. You could pay $95 for one of many stunt rocks from the quarry.
Stunt rocks.
Now, are those rocks that aren't hard, or are those rocks that do their own stunts? What are we dealing with here?
Ooh, 2017. Maybe, there was a quarry in it, but I don't think that was 2017. What else had a quarry? Flintstones had a quarry, but that's not right. I need another hint.
You could pay $3,250 for a piece of rebar used in a climactic scene.
A piece of rebar used in a climactic scene. 2017 movie. There's a quarry. There's a rebar. Why is this not coming to me? Okay, final hint.
$475 for a Derry, Maine police radio set.
Oh, man, it was it. It.
Yes, you said it at 30, but 10 points for it.
Wait, what was it? What was it?
Exactly. One more prop set per player. This one is for Jack. This comes from a 2015 TV show. You could pay $75 for a page from a spy's cryptology and semiotics book.
I'm going to take a swing for the fences here. Is it the Americans?
It is not. That is going to be from Marvel, Agent Carter. And next to David. The 2016 installment of a film series that started in 2002. You could pay $125 for the end cap of a vial that contained a virus.
I would love to get that next clue.
You could also pay $775 for a Raccoon City police badge.
That is not ringing any bells. Raccoon City police badge. 2016. I'm going to take the last hint.
You could also pay $575 for a set of Umbrella Corporation handcuffs.
I am going to have to pass.
Raccoon City and the Umbrella Corporation come from the world of Resident Evil, with the final chapter, at least until, you know, recently, coming in 2016. Ugh.
2016.
And closing out round two with Paul, this is from a 2016 TV show. You could pay $75 for Kendra's Washington, D.C. license plate.
Kendra. A 2016 show set in Washington, D.C. Oh, boy. Kendra. Okay, give me a hint.
You could pay $75 for a red Secret Service pin.
You say that like the redness of the pin should tip me off to something. So a Secret Service, so this is some, this is going to be some show that my parents watch, isn't it? give me the final hint, please.
You could also pay $75 for a blue Secret Service pin. You know, for a show premised on the Secret Service not doing a very good job, they definitely have a lot of these pins floating around.
Oh. Red and blue Secret Service pins, and it was a 2016 TV show, you said? Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. I'm going to have to guess... Madam Secretary?
Now, this is a show where I'm pretty sure my mom is its sole viewing population. It is Designated Survivor with Kiefer Sutherland. Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Monty and on to the final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Monty's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode comes out, and you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Let's hear it, Monty.
Always dressed in black and red, with distinctive spikes atop his head. Find him in the Beano pages, where he's frequently possessed by rages, and very little is left unsaid.
Think you know that answer? Well, find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, to submit that knowledge. Then, if you want to know the real answer, follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at USA Quiz Show, where we post those literal answers every Monday afternoon. While you're on our website, also check out the apply page. That's usaquizshow.com/apply to put your name in the hat to play on a future season. Thanks for the riddle, Monty. Now, how about a score update?
Sure thing, Taylor. Going into round three, it's time for the Ferdinand the Bull score break. Ferdinand the Bull, along with the Grinch, making the case that no one should make features out of old cartoons. Paul is in the lead with 100 points, David is just behind with 85 points and the half point, and Jack has 20 points. That means Jack gets to go first in round three and will need 9 correct answers to move into first.
All right, Jack, that means it's time for the lightning round. In this round, players get their choice of categories and then have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. You'll earn 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are...
Can I preface this by saying these categories made me angry, so buckle up.
Rome, July 1999. Grant Park, August 2006. Meadowlands, May 2008. And Indio, April 2001. Now, these questions aren't 100% clear from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or maybe keep something you think's going to be easy away from one of your fellow players. Jack, in third place, you get first pick. Which of the four categories would you like? Once again, they are Rome, July 1999, Grant Park, August 2006, Meadowlands, May 2008, and Indio, April 2021.
All right, so I'm going to take Grant Park, August 2006.
Do you have a guess as to what's going on in this lightning round?
I'm hoping it has something to do with Chicago.
It absolutely does. August of 2006 in Chicago's Grant Park was home to the Lollapalooza Festival. So this is all going to be about artists and the pop culture web that spreads from them, from artists who appeared at the 2006 Lollapalooza in Chicago, Illinois. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Jack, are you ready?
Yes.
Slater Kinney's Carrie Brownstein starred with Fred Armisen on this IFC show.
Portlandia.
Gnarls Barkley was a collaboration between DJ Danger Mouse and this The Voice Judge.
CeeLo Green.
At the show, Sony hosted a competition for this Harmonix music-based video game.
SingStar?
Guitar Hero. Panic at the Disco released the single New Perspective for this 2009 Megan Fox horror movie.
Jennifer's Body?
Amanda Palmer sings that this instrument has 4 strings, is small, forceful, and banishes evil.
Pass.
In 2016, the Flaming Lips dressed as droogs from this movie for a photo shoot.
Clockwork Orange.
2004's The College Dropout was his debut album.
Kanye West.
Alumni of this improv group include Alan Alda, Tina Fey, and Nia Vardalos.
Second City.
In 2015, rapper actor Common appeared in the NBC Live production of this musical.
Pass.
Death Cab for Cutie is part of Seth Cohen's starter pack on this primetime soap.
VOC.
Gift of Gab and Chief Excel made up this alphabet aerobics duo.
Pass.
Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers has a role in this 2017 Edgar Wright crime movie.
Pass.
It's going to be Baby Driver right there at the end. All right, Monty, let's hear the Jack report.
All right, Jack did pretty well, I thought. There are a few passes. The four-stringed instrument that Amanda Palmer sung about was the ukulele. The NBC Live musical that Common was in was The Wiz. Alphabet Aerobics Duo was Blackalicious. And the Edgar Wright crime movie that had Flea in it was Baby Driver, or Baby Driver. Jack got 7 correct for a total of 90. That was not enough to move her into first place. Next up is David. He will need to get 2 questions correct to move into first.
All right, David, 3 category choices left on the board. They are Rome, July 1999, Meadowlands, May 2008, and Indio, April 2021.
I don't know whether or not all of these are now concerts after that first one, which scares me very much. But I was around in 2008, so I'm going to go with Meadowlands, May 2008.
Well, this is based around a festival, just like the last one. This is going to be about performers at the Bamboozle Music Festival in Meadowlands, New Jersey, which was in May of 2008, about those performers and the pop culture web that extends from all of them. 90 seconds on the clock. David, are you ready?
I am ready.
This profane puppet is voiced by Robert Smigel.
Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
Albums from the Proto Men are mostly inspired by this Capcom video game series.
Street Fighter.
Mega Man. Panic at the Disco contributed music to the stage musical about this Undersea Nick cartoon.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Hayley Williams was the Crimson Curse in the music video for this singer's Bad Blood.
Pass.
Rapper Calvin Cortazar Broaddus Jr. is better known by this name.
Pass.
Skid Row's Sebastian Bach was a recurring guest on this Amy Sherman Palladino show.
Pass.
Illinois rock band Dr. Manhattan takes its name from this Alan Moore book.
Watchmen.
This Rushmore actor was previously the drummer for Phantom Planet.
Oh my gosh, pass.
The 2001 album Bleed American scored 4 hit singles for this Arizona band.
Pass.
Jeffree Star doesn't sing much anymore, but has 17 million YouTube subscribers for tutorials about this.
Guitar playing.
Makeup. This Christian metalcore band shares a name with a 2006 Meryl Streep and Hathaway movie.
Striper.
The Devil Wears Prada. Oh,
right.
Alien Ant Farm is best known for its cover of this 1987 Michael Jackson song.
Oh, gosh.
Smooth Criminal being that Alien Ant Farm song. Monty, let's hear the David report.
Well, David had kind of a lot of passes, it seemed like.
I was hoping they'd come around.
Hayley Williams was the Crimson Curse in Taylor Swift's Bad Blood. Right. Calvin Broaddus is better known as Snoop Dogg, Snoop Doggy Dog, or Snoop Lion, it says here. I don't. And Sebastian Bach was a recurring guest on The Gilmore Girls. Jason Schwartzman was the Rushmore actor who was the drummer for Phantom Planet. And Jimmy Eat World was the Arizona band who had an album called Bleed American. David got 3 correct. That was enough to move him into first place. Now Paul will need 2 questions correct to beat him and take the win.
Good luck, Paul.
All right, Paul, pressure is on. Your 2 remaining category choices are Rome, July 1999 and Indio, April 2021.
Oh boy, pop music. This is not one of my strong suits. So I'm old, so I'm going to bank on knowing the 1999 stuff better than the current stuff. So I'll pick Rome, July 1999.
Any guess as to what festival might have been in Rome?
What's in Rome? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a funny answer, but nothing's coming to mind. What is it?
Well, it's not Rome, Italy. It's Rome, New York. This is the infamous Woodstock 99. Performers there and the pop culture extensions of them.
Okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Paul, are you ready?
I'm ready.
He was the driving force behind the Parliament Funkadelic Collective.
George Clinton.
The Roots serve as the house band for this NBC late night show.
Jimmy Fallon.
Diehard fans of the Insane Cloud Posse are called this.
Juggalos?
Bush's Gavin Rossdale plays Balthazar in this 2005 supernatural Keanu Reeves movie.
Constantine?
The band Korn debates ghost pirates versus pirate ghosts in the third season of this show.
Is that South Park?
This rapper showed up for a live performance of Offspring's Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Pass.
This Gord Downie band's final show was broadcast globally by the CBC.
I'm Canadian, is the Tragically Hip.
According to a 1994 hit, all she wants to do is have some fun.
Pass.
DMX starred alongside Jet Li and Aaliyah in this loose Shakespeare adaptation.
Romeo Must Die.
Funk keyboardist Bertie Worrell plays in this band in the Stop Making Sense film.
Talking Heads.
Jamiroquai's Virtual Insanity won Video of the Year for 1997 at this awards show.
The MTV Music Video Awards?
He used to own a Manhattan vegan cafe and tea shop called Teeny.
Pass.
Chris Perez had a tumultuous relationship with this Tejana music star.
Selena?
This godfather of soul is number 7 on Rolling Stone's list of the all-time greatest artists. That's going to be...
James Brown.
James Brown.
James Brown. James Brown.
All right. Monty, let's hear the Paul report and the final scores.
Well, Paul did very well in that round. He did have a couple of passes. The rapper who showed up for a live performance of Offspring's Pretty Fly for a White Guy was Vanilla Ice. The woman who all she wanted to do was have some fun was Sheryl Crow.
Oh.
You could have said literally anyone, because I have a feeling she's not the only one.
The person who used to own a Manhattan vegan cafe and tea shop called Teeny was Moby. The final scores, Jack came up with 90 points. David finished with 115 points and the half point, but that was not enough to beat Paul, who finished with 200 points and the win.
Woo! Yay. Paul, congratulations.
Well done, Paul. Paul, great job.
Good round.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Paul. But that does mean it is time to say goodbye to Jack and David. Fantastically fun game. Love to see Jack's little comeback in the lightning round at the end there. Super, super fun. Please come back anytime. But that said, before we go, David, is there anything you would like to plug for our listeners?
Yeah, I'm sometimes on Twitter, at least once a season, at DavidMJ, and have a brand new Twitter feed called Big House Stories, which by the time this airs, there'll be stuff there.
Fantastic. Thank you, David. And Jack, anything you'd like to point our listeners towards?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram at JackLauren0719.
Thank you, Jack. But the big congratulations today are for Paul. Paul, you're going to be moving on to the Ubu Division Finals. Before we get there, what are you going to be watching, listening to, catching up with so we get your best game?
I think like Washington, D.C. based TV series seems to be my Achilles heel.
Sounds great. Anything you'd like to plug before you go?
Yeah, I co-host a podcast called Trash, Art, and the Movies. I and my co-host, Aaron Fraser, we pit two movies against each other. One is quote unquote arty, one is quote unquote trashy, but that have something in common, a setting, an actor, a director, and we declare a victor for the week.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you, Paul. And listeners, you can also follow Paul as the sunglasses emoji over on our Season 6 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time for the second elimination match over in the Mark 7 division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Absent Scoremaster Dan, Present Scoremaster Monty, and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show.
I love lunch.